Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It is another episode of Dadcast. I am JP. He is Nick. How are you, Nick?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good, brother. Looking good today.
Thanks, dude. I got the champion sweatshirt and pulling the JP hoodie out.
Yeah, right. Well, it's freezing in the studio here now that it's, you know, fall in Oregon. Exactly. Today on the show, man, we are stoked to have an incredibly awesome guest. His name, well, I'm not going to tell you his name just quite yet, because I'm going to tell you he is a musician. A vocalist. I did a little scouring, a little deep dive before we got on the air here on this particular guy. And he said on his own website, he is mostly known for being the guy who sings on Metal Gear, the video games, the music for it. Welcome to the show, Mr. Tyson Yen. How are you, sir?
I'm doing real good. Thanks, Jeff and Nick, for having me. And yeah, my website just has it all because right now that's the only thing I'm known for. I mean, I've done this whole thing, like this whole career, the long stuff, but, right now, everyone knows me as the guy who sang that one song in that one video game. So I just gave them what they wanted. I used to actually have a lot of stuff on my website. Just said, oh, here's all the placements I've done. Here's all the albums I've done. Here's all my credits. But nah, I just broke it down. This is what you know me for. You come to the right place.
And dude, you're to talk to me. You recorded what, like 3 songs with Slash from Guns N' Roses back in the day?
I recorded just one. Just
okay.
One
song.
Yeah. Well, and that's your claim to fame, but all right, that's all right. It could be a whole heck of a lot worse, man.
Oh, you know what? I'm just happy to still be doing it and still have the time to do it and still have people that are interested. And, you know, now with this whole like stuff, I have a whole community. I have a Discord. I have social. I mean, it's just like I have tons of people still listening, still engaged, and it's actually just kind of growing, just started growing in the past couple months, so I'm pretty stoked.
That's good to hear. All right, so the very first major question we have here on Dadcast, it's a rite of passage for all of our guests, and that question is, are you a dad?
Yes, I am a dad. I have 2 boys, ages 4 and 7, and they keep me real busy every morning. It's a battle. It's a good battle, but it is a battle. You know, one doesn't like the way his socks feel on his feet. Mm-hmm. And the other one doesn't want to eat breakfast. So, you know?
Yeah, it reminds me of that famous meme. I've never been able to understand or comprehend the fact that someone could get so incredibly upset and have their day ruined because their cup is orange.
Oh,
right.
Oh,
it's just,
of course.
To a dad to 2 young boys, man, that's pretty awesome. Are there any possibilities for a baby sister in the future, or is this it? We good?
Nope. I mean, not unless I win the lottery or something, but no way, man. It's just like I'm getting my butt kicked over here financially. So, no,
yeah, I hear that. And poor Nick over here. You know, I'm going to Nick tell you. If you weren't aware, Nick is Nick, you know, go ahead.
Yeah. So, yeah, we talked a little bit via text. I've got 6 kids, a 7th on the way. Yeah.
Seven.
So, yeah, a lot has changed since the last time I saw you.
Man, rest in peace to your wallet.
Yeah, I think I had like 2 kids the last time we did something. It's been a while. So yeah, it's just I get it, man. Financially, it sucks.
it's rough. I mean, you know, I hate to say that because you know having the kids is awesome. You know, the money's no object, but sometimes right. It's just like, well, you know what? I don't even know if you're going to get all six, all two of you are going to get Christmas gifts. I'm sure you have a bigger thing where it's like, oh man.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No, we put their name in a hat and draw names out and two of them get presents. The other five are just.
Yeah.
What we did, you know, as I mean, my kids are still super young, by the way. I've got, well, one of most of them, my oldest, she's my stepdaughter. She is going to be 18 in 2 weeks from the recording day of this show. So she's almost an adult. And I love the fact when they become adults, because in my family, it's always been once they become adults, then you only get to need to buy them one gift. But the littles, you know, you spoil them. That's it. They, right. You know, they get like 17 gifts under the trees. That's what mom does. She goes nuts every single year. We save up all year. And then the tree, it's just ridiculous. There's, and she individually wraps the socks. So it appears as if there's a whole lot more presents underneath the tree when Santa comes, at least for the, you know, our part. And
I need to dig into Jen's playbook here. That's genius.
And it's all for that picture in the morning, all that work. So she could take that one picture with them sitting in there before they tear into it. And then 5 minutes later, chaos, trash, house has exploded. And they wonder why one present is a sock and they got to go find the other one. It's pretty fun times.
Well, my kids, what they do is they open all the presents. They gravitate to the one present they actually like, and the rest just get completely forgotten about.
Yep, yep.
And then, you know, they both still believe in Santa Claus, right? So, you know, I said, oh, he asked for something. And one of my sons asked for the Nintendo Switch. I said, oh, that's expensive. He's all, well, Santa can bring it. Santa, you know, doesn't cost Santa money. I'm like, oh, yeah.
I'm going to back you up one second. What do you mean they still believe in Santa Claus? Are you telling me that Santa Claus isn't real? Because I guarantee you Santa Claus is real, Mr. Tyson Yen.
He has an unlimited budget, too, apparently.
Yeah. Well, that all depends.
Not run out of money.
I've had to explain this to my kids multiple times. It is a geographical situation when it comes to what Santa Claus can bring to them. And also depends on the rotation of the moon, depending on that particular Christmas. And some Christmases, because the moon's over there that particular year, Santa can't bring as many cool things. But some years he can. And, you know, that's just how it works. And I'm like, you know what, you guys, it's real scientific and I don't want to get into it, but you can check it out when you're older and you'll understand. And, then they know.
There you go.
And so, and for you too. So, you know, my kids, Sawyer and Avery, I know you watch the podcast all the time. See, I'm even telling you about it on the podcast to my guests. So it's not me making things up. Good stuff, right? So,
all right, hey, moving on.
Tyson, I'm going to take you back. Okay. It was about 7.5, 8 years ago, give or take. And it was a fateful day, and you were let known in some form or fashion that you, in fact, were going to become a father. Can you recall that day, those emotions?
Yeah, it was kind of like holy crap moment. I got a the how it was is my wife got me a book that says open it up. It's a book. It says the book was called Dude, You're Gonna Be a Dad. And I was like, oh, okay. It's like, uh-oh. All right. And all of a sudden, you know, my I just know like everything's gonna change, you know. Like, so I just thought, I don't know, it was like one of those things where it's just like when the teacher calls on you, you know,
right.
You're not prepared. When you're not prepared to answer the question, the teacher calls on you. He's like, all right, give us your book report. Give us a thing. I'm like, oh, I'm on the stand. You know, I got to do all this stuff. So there's that corner sort of feeling. That was it, you know.
Were you scared? Just, were you excited for the fact? Was there shit moment? Or?
Yeah, it was all of it. It was scary. It was oh, shit. It was excitement. And I think all kind of balanced them out to this thing where just like, oh, yeah, I'm moving into this new spot in my life. I'm no longer the guy that just kind of moseys down to the bar every day.
Right.
Whatever.
What did you do to, mentally prepare yourself for the next 9 months?
I tried to clean up my act, you know. that's the first thing. I tried to get a hold of some of my vices and clean up my room, you know.
Right.
Say my prayers, eat my vitamins, you know, Hulk Hogan stuff.
Brother? Yes.
Yep. I mean, I had the lessons all this time. I've been watching Hulk Hogan. So I'm like, all right, finally time to put that to work.
Are you a wrestling fan?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, so I'm just going to
modern day.
I'm going to pan out just a bit.
Wrestling. I was a wrestling fan back when it was called the WWF.
Do you see those?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Those are actually 100% authentic world championship belts up there. In fact, I got that one just a few months ago. That is the U.S. championship belt. I got it in Las Vegas when I took my son to go see SummerSlam at the MGM Grand. And at the time, Austin Theory, who's wrestling right now, was the U.S. champ, met him, and he signed that belt. Pretty cool stuff.
That's amazing. Yeah, I remember watching wrestling when I was a kid. I would rent them from a video store.
Oh, I did too, man.
Oh, yeah, WrestleMania. I'd watch Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, you know, all those guys. You know,
yeah, I never stopped, though, unfortunately. I'm just a gigantic nerd in disguise. Nick will say otherwise, but yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All my media consuming, like, stopped around early 2000s when I was just like started like just doing nothing but playing shows. So like I'm frozen in time on The Simpsons. I'm frozen in time on
right
all the shows. You know, like I haven't watched a movie in the longest time. I'll occasionally watch a movie here and there, but now I'm just trying to catch up on stuff. Like I'm the guy that you can go and go like, oh, you haven't seen that. I mean, the list is mile long. You'd gasp at the things that I haven't seen. So. Eventually, I'll pick up all those TV shows and all the movies and all the cultural stuff. But
one day. I'm guessing 13 years, give or take, from now. That's when right your youngest is an adult.
Yeah, totally. Right now, after bedtime is when I get the most busyness done.
Right.
You know, I'll get behind the microphone. I'm doing a lot of video game covers because that's what the community wants me to do. But I'm working on my own stuff. I'm just trying to, you know, just stay out.
Are you still doing any of the solo acoustic stuff? I remember when you were in Drist, you were releasing, back when MySpace was a thing, you were dropping like solo acoustic things. And like, that was some of like the best stuff I ever heard. I'm like, oh my God, this is so good.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm not doing that as much anymore. I'm doing more. We're working on like I would call it a metalcore type of album, like just a lot of screaming and shouting, like the heavy stuff we've done in a long time. I'm working with the guitar player from my past band who's no longer in that band. We've been working on it. It's our COVID project, but because we were working in the Pro Tools cloud, but now we have been doing like face-to-face stuff, and we're making some good progress. We're pretty much done with the demo phase. So
Yeah, so backstory on Tyson. So the first time I had Drist come up to Grants Pass, I had a little tiny venue. And one of the members in the band's like, shit's going to get fucking weird. Somebody's going to end up naked. And sure enough, I'm pretty sure somebody ended up naked down at the river.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did that.
These are one of the vices we were discussing earlier.
Yeah, those are the things where I'm just like, okay, now maybe perhaps. Well, of course, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it was cold river. It's refreshing. It's good for the soul. Yeah. But yeah, that was me. And I didn't have any suits, so I just jumped in.
What you got to do up here?
The Rogue River, right?
Yeah, it was cold.
You are now one with the Rogue River and always will be.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So were you in the room for the birth of your first kid?
Yes, I was.
How'd that go?
It was brutal, man. It was rough. I mean, the labor was really long time. It was like about, I shit you not. It was like 4 days. It was a really
tough labor.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really long time. It was tough. And then there was some complications during. The doctor had to get the plunger out. And it was just a bunch of stuff that it was really rough. It was brutal. But, you know, I stayed on my 2 feet. I had my phone out at the end after they pulled him out, of course.
Right.
It was brutal. It was tiring for me.
God, and you can imagine how it was for the wife, man. Woof.
I know. I'm just saying that because if she was here, she'd smack me.
Well, so let's fast forward now just a little bit. Or, you know, what do you do? Do they have much screen time? I'm curious. You know, I like to ask that question from different dads and see what they do. You know, with the age of phones and iPads and whatnot, how do you parent when it comes to that?
Yeah, they get too much screen time. They get too much screen time. What I do is I try to encourage them to have stuff that I think will help them screen time. When I had screen time as a kid, I was playing Mike Tyson's Punch Out. I was playing Contra. My son plays way too much Minecraft. But the thing is, like, I think that it advanced his reading skills much earlier than they probably would have been. He's always constantly trying to read what the text messages, yeah, says at the bottom. He's you know, learning how, he types really fast now. I didn't know how to type that fast until high school. So I do see some benefit, but there are some, you know, time waster apps that he does spend his time on, and my youngest too. So I'm guilty as much as other parents allowing too much screen time. But they do have a balance. It's not an alarming rate. They go out and do sports, soccer and baseball. So I'm happy if they have a good balance, you know. It's part of the digital life, and I just make sure to get them outside in some sunshine once in a while.
Absolutely. I feel like you and I, if we grew up together, we'd be best friends. You've mentioned wrestling. You've mentioned Contra, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. What year did you graduate high school, if you don't mind me asking?
1995.
1993. So there it is, right? You know, same era.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Where do you call yourself home?
I'm in El Segundo, California.
Yep. All right. So
for those that don't know, I'm right by LAX. I could see the planes crossing right over. It gets loud.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
but it's a great place for a family.
Yeah. Right next to the beach too.
Right next to the beach. It's a good little community. California taxes are kicking my butt real hard though. But, aside from that, you know, I can't, there could be worse places for me to be here.
Yeah. So. I grew up in Thousand Oaks, man. I got out about 20 years ago, moved to Oregon, give or take. And I haven't looked back. I do go back a lot, you know, and visit, but then I get on the 405 and it reminds me of why I left.
Yeah.
Good God.
Thankfully I don't have to be on the 405 that much, but the times that I have gotten stuck, it's pretty terrible.
It's no fun, man, at all. Nick, yeah. We talked off the air, by the way, and Nick actually said he was going to take the lead on this particular interview, which I thought was amazing because that's very rare, rarefied air. So, Nick.
You guys just became best friends. So.
I do that all the time. But, Nick, dude, go, man. I'm going to give you the conch here for a little bit. Yeah, I'm going to sit back and listen.
Know, like, more about what you've been up to since the last time I saw you. Like, we've kind of touched on that a little bit, video games and music. And like,
so, yeah, for sure, man.
Being a dad, like, you know, that obviously changed you, like, so much, man. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I had to really, like, I mean, I still have, you know, I feel like a, you know, you captured a wild animal and then you have to, like, you have to put a little domestic in it a little bit. So I still have those sort of things. I still have those nights where I'm like, oh, okay. I don't know. I'm always fighting it, but I mean, I'm not fighting too much. It's not like I'm, you know, recovering heroin addict or anything like that, you know?
Right.
But you definitely have, it's no different from what other guys in their 20s like to party, you know, you still have that urge, that itching. But, you know, after, you know, during Drist, you know, we, after like that era, it wasn't shortly after that we got, I believe it was the Guitar Hero placement, and that really kind of boosted the band. But we could never really hold things together. I moved to Los Angeles. We were just butting a little bit of heads. We had some issues. So it disbanded. Then I've been doing, so since Guitar Hero, I was doing a lot of session work, and that's what I've been doing ever since. So I've never really stopped doing anything. I've always been working, doing paid sessions. But then I started another band, and unfortunately, we tried it. We gave it our best shot. We got some great opportunities. We played with Slash. We played a lot of shows. I don't think we got anywhere near close to like being successful. I don't really know how you even define successful anymore, but yeah. I just wanted to make enough money to live off. And so I could just piss it away. But, but yeah, I mean, that didn't work out. I've been doing session work, and then, oh, I got the Metal Gear gig, which is what my community is based on right now. And that just sort of started up because, it's memeing. Memes are very powerful, I guess. And they cast me back into the spotlight again. Now I have, all my socials from all ends are absolutely blown up every day, constantly around the clock. And I'm happy and grateful for that, but I'm just trying to manage it in a way that I can, I just feel appreciative that people are listening again and they like it. So there's not much to like the in-betweens, you know, had kids and those have been awesome. Just trying to raise them right and learn things as I go, and you know, not too much else. I mean, there's probably things I've missed, but it's just so like, you know, I've been, you know, you guys know the first 6 months, 8 months, you're sleeping with one eye open, groggy, you're just trying to put the, you know, just kind of hold it together.
Any crazy, like my little 2-year-old is like a daredevil. Dude is like, he'll climb up on the freaking top of a counter and jump off belly flopping on a hardwood floor. Do your kids do that kind of stuff?
Oh yeah. I mean, we bought them a trampoline, one of those exercise adult trampolines, so they can actually go from the couch onto the trampoline and jump, because we want them to stop jumping on the couch. So we got one of those little exercise trampolines. They love it. They burn out their energy, but they still prefer the jump on the couch. And what they do is they go in the hallway and they do that thing where you like eat your legs on each side and climb all the way up to the ceiling, and they scrape all the popcorn ceiling off the top. And they'll do that for hours, and then they're starting to do crazy stuff. So yeah, I mean, I fully expect to be maybe probably asked to be leave my place of living from my landlord soon after they destroy something terrible.
There's something to be said about that. When I when the kids were born, I lived in a second story apartment. And when they were still babies and crawling around, it was great. But as soon as they started walking, all over the place, started getting complaints. And I'm like, what do you want me to do? This is a 2-year-old kid, and all he's doing is walking, man. So that we moved to a downstairs apartment that worked out for, you know, 6-7 months. And finally, I'm like, you know what? I got to get them into a house. And it's been smooth sailing ever since. Run all you guys want.
We are very lucky to be in a house. We don't have any lower neighbors or anything, because they are just constantly running. There's no walking. It's just thump, 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 all heels on the hardwood floor, just constantly. All my tracks that I'm trying to record have some sort of like, screaming in the background. Like, I'm just like, it is what it is, you know? Like, luckily, all the music I'm doing now is super heavy hard rock. So it's like, you know, I can hear it. And anyway.
Have you brought them in?
I couldn't imagine not having that. Like now, like where I'm at in my life now, or go back to being single and having no kids running around. Like, I'd much rather have a house with happy kids running around and doing all kinds of crazy shit. And that's just like,
oh yeah,
it means so much more to me than what life used to be.
Oh yeah. I mean, the way I was headed, like, man, I don't even know if I'd still be alive if I didn't have my kids and family.
I've said that, I can't tell you how many times. I firmly believe that I would not be alive on this planet if it wasn't for the birth of my son, who is now 12 years old. You know, I was
totally
going down a path that wasn't necessarily, you know, again, wasn't, you know, addicted to heroin or anything like that. But I was doing stuff too often that probably wasn't too healthy for me, and just living a lifestyle of who gives a crap. And boy, did that change overnight. When I found out, I was like, oh. And ever since, man, it's been the biggest blessing of my life. I'm so glad those kids are in my life. And I'm so glad mama gave them to me.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the exact same thing. So, you know, I've had some nights I look back and go like, man, if I repeated that now, I probably wouldn't be able to hold, you know, maintain very well. So,
right. I can hardly even drink anymore. I have like 2 drinks and I have a headache before I even finish the second one. It's like, what is happening? Yeah. You pathetic excuse for an Irishman.
I'm ready for bed. It's terrible.
We're going to call this thing Grandpa Cast here pretty soon, Nick.
Exactly.
Yeah, I try to limit my alcohol now just to the weekends.
Yeah, I limit it to like months that end in, no, they all end in Y, don't they? R. Months that end in R is when I'll drink. Yeah, I think that's just December, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I stopped drinking like 2 years ago. I think I've got like maybe like once or twice JP's seen me drink since we started doing the podcast.
Yeah, and every time he does, he's a jackass.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
He decided to do it on the air, though, when we're recording the show. Therein lies the problem. Yeah. Nick, did you put together a fast five for Mr. Ian today?
I did, kind of.
All right.
I'm just going to go off of memory.
So check it out. 5 quick questions.
Yeah.
I am ready.
They're fun.
It's totally fun. What's your funniest parenting fail?
I can tell there's a bunch then.
Oh, my son, okay, it happened like last week. My son just dropped the F-bomb and I just, instead of like scolding him, I just laughed.
Yeah.
I just laughed. And he just thought it was the best thing to say. And he just kept saying it and saying it. And I just kept laughing. My wife's like, what are you, stop, don't laugh.
Dude, my two-year-old can use F-bombs in proper sentences. And I can't, I want to high-five him because I can't spank him. I'm like, dude, you're so smart. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was just hilarious.
Yeah, he just, like, good job.
You got to record one of those and put that on the gram, man. Come on.
I know. I'm so afraid I'm going to get canceled, though. Like, people get pissed off about stupid shit. Like,
yeah. You know,
we folded and got the leash for, because, like, I cannot keep, if we go to Walmart, I cannot keep him within like a 2 foot distance of me. Like, the little kid likes to play hide and seek and he's really good. And so the last time we went without the leash, he takes off and it took us like 10 minutes to find him. Like, he's hiding under a rack of clothes. Just like, all of a sudden I hear this, ha ha ha, I got you, dad. I'm like, you little fucker.
Yeah, so that must have felt like a really long time.
It felt like forever. Like, I was in tears. I'm like, my wife's like freaking out. I'm like, okay, get security. Tell them to shut the fucking store down.
I know. All you're thinking about is John Walsh coming in and the on afterwards and exactly. Telling the story about how, you know.
Yeah. I'm like, I want a Netflix special, but not fucking Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah.
I know, right? So we got the leash and now the little asshole, like, he fucking puts it on and he gets on all fours and crawls like a dog. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? People are going to get so mad at me. And like, we had an old lady at the store. She's like, your kid's not a dog. I'm like, he's doing this on purpose. He knows what he's doing.
Really?
Yeah. And he starts laughing. He's like, daddy, you got in trouble. Oh,
yeah. Wow.
I'm thinking less Walmart trips until he gets a little more under control, man. Just saying.
I know. I'm thinking like, we're going to have to start doing the pickup and delivery stuff. This is ridiculous.
I'll bring it to you. All right. Question two, man. Let's go. Question two.
If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
Oh, gosh, there's so many things. That's so hard. I would just say, let's just agree to disagree, guys.
Okay, yeah.
Your biggest parenting accomplishment.
Biggest parenting accomplishment? Was when over the COVID period, I gave my son a bike riding lesson and he got it on the first try. Dude. Without his training wheels, driving around like a champ. I was super proud. I got it on film so he can't go to social media and say, my dad never did anything for me.
I did the same thing with my girl. Yes.
I love it.
Yeah. When it just clicked and that balance worked for him and they kept, it's ridiculous good. How such a simple thing, and I'm like, oh my god, it's the greatest day in the world.
Yeah, it made me feel real good. Yes. To him, it's just another day. He was happy about it.
Yeah, but,
you know, for me, it was like really big deal.
That's awesome. If you could, do you cook for your kids?
Yes, every day.
Awesome. What's your favorite meal or their favorite meal that you cook?
The go-to.
They're so bad. They're such picky eaters. My youngest favorite meal is toast and bacon.
Ooh.
And my oldest son just really wants to eat nothing but Lucky Charms cereal.
Can you blame him?
it's delicious, dude. I think marshmallows, you can't go wrong.
My 9-year-old swears she hates peanuts, but loves peanut butter.
Weird.
Been trying to explain to her that it's the same thing, just smashed.
Oh, yeah. My son, he doesn't like cheese, but he'll eat pizza.
Yes.
Pizza's made of pizza.
My daughter the other day said she's allergic to cheese. I'm like, you're not allergic to cheese, honey. Why? Why do you say that, Dad? I'm like, because you had pizza last night. That's not cheese, Dad. It's cheese and pepperonis, Dad. It's not just cheese. And there's sauce in there.
So my 18-year-old daughter tells me she's lactose intolerant 3 years ago. And she eats big, huge bowls of ice cream all the time. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
You have a tummy ache? You don't feel good? She's like, no, I feel great, Dad. I'm like, okay. All right. Yeah.
Kids. Calling them on your crap, man. You got any more, Nick?
Do I have one more? I don't.
All right. I got a good one for you. Right. This is one of the questions I ask almost every single guest on this show. I like to think of it as the question. So no pressure.
All right.
Mr. Tyson Yen, if you were able to impart any bit of wisdom or advice to any new or soon to be father, what would it be?
Sleep when your child sleeps every chance you can get. Be awake when they're awake, sleep when they sleep. You will not survive if you don't do that.
And there you have it. Very, very sound and sage advice from Mr. Tyson Yen right here on Dadcast. Where else are you going to get such good stuff from amazing dads, huh? Right?
Mm-hmm. We know.
So you kind of covered it a little bit, Nick, earlier about, but what is going on? Like, in the next 3 months in your life, as far as music is concerned, what do you got going on? What are you doing? What do you hope to obtain?
What I got going on right now is I have a community that is based on people are fans of this one song that I've sang on this game called Metal Gear. Mm-hmm. And they all are obsessed with the song. It's one song, but they think it's the greatest song in the world.
What song is that for listeners right now?
The Only Thing I Know for Real. It's called The Only Thing I Know for Real. It's from Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. I have a whole community based on this one thing. So I have my audiences now are now based on like young men between the ages of probably 16 to late 20s. And they just want me to do post video game covers on YouTube. So I'm going through all their requests. They're requesting all these songs and I'm just trying to get them out as fast as I can. Getting a lot of views on them. I'm trying to like sort of like build up a successful YouTube channel on that. And then at the same time, I'm working on my, I'm not calling it a solo. It's a project with my guitar player that I mentioned from my previous band. And that's going to be hopefully released. I'm not even going to give a release date because the thing is we've been saying it's going to be released. Right. But we're actually working on the finished product right now. So we're working on that. We want to get that full album out. I can't wait for my current fans to be exposed to it. And then that's pretty much it. I mean, that's been my sole focus. So I'm up every day. And then I'll live stream video games because I like playing video games. My fans like video games. I like playing video games. I'm catching up on a lot of video games that I've missed. Right now I'm doing this cool mod game called Cry of Fear, which was a mod from the game Half-Life. I'm doing that. It's like a real scary game. So I'm just streaming that. The next one I'm going to stream is the chapter 2 from Poppy Playtime. And then I'm going to take some more requests from
other people. You know, Warzone 2 dropped today, I think today or tomorrow.
You know, it's so funny. Like those guys in my Discord chat, they'll like talk about me, like they'll like help me out with my Discord and stuff. And then one of them says, hey, you know, give him a break. He's 40, give him a break. And I'm like, thanks guys.
Right.
Like I know stuff.
Yeah. I know. My son does the same thing, 12, but you know, it still blows my mind that he's kicking my ass at Call of Duty that I've been playing long before he even existed.
My son's so fast at Minecraft. My 7-year-old son, he's showing me like how to do all these things. And he's just like, I'm just like, what?
What are some examples of like most requested songs to cover from a video game that you've done?
Well, obviously all the fans want me to cover. They want me to finish all the songs from that game.
Okay. There's
like 10 or 12 songs. And then after that, I've done stuff from Sonic the Hedgehog, from Shadow the Hedgehog. I just released one last night from a Japanese anime I've never seen in my life, but it was a cool song called Night of Fire from this anime called Initial D.
Right. And these are actual like worded songs. There's words in these.
Yeah, they're songs with actual singers. And what they want me to do is they want me to sing it with like me because they hear me and they think that I'm the character that's in Metal Gear. So they always, right. A lot of them say like, hey, it's as if that character's doing that, you know? I remember like, it's funny that people will think that you're this character, like just the same as like the Steve Harrell from Smash Mouth. They think he's Shrek.
Right. You
know?
Yeah.
So, you know, so it's sort of, it's awesome. It's interesting. It's, you know, it's cool, man. I so dig it because I didn't think I was going to have any sort of interest at this point. I was just like content to just doing my own stuff. And cause I was throwing my own stuff out in the ether, like for a long time, people were like, well, why weren't you doing all this promotion all this time? I was like, well, I was trying to, I was like, my band was putting out music videos. I was putting out solo stuff. And it was just like, I couldn't get a foothold. I couldn't get people to actually stop and listen to it besides, you know, like, you know, people that knew me for a long time, like Nick, you know? But it's just like, it's tough to really get traction on these sort of deals and get people to really start building it. Now things are getting every day. It's more and more views, more and more followers, more and more hours watched.
That, so there you go. Awesome. It's kind of like mirrors our story too. You know, it's Nick's done a whole bunch of stuff in the past, hopefully getting to go. I've worked in radio for years and years and years, but here we are finally doing this podcast and here comes the traction. You know, this is what's resonating with people finally. So we take the ball and we run with it. So good for you, man. For everyone listening or watching this episode right now, where can they check out Tyson Yen's YouTube channel? Obviously on YouTube, but what's it called?
My main hub that you can actually find me at is TysonYen.com. If you go to YouTube, my username is YouTube/TysonYen. So I was able to get the custom logo, custom URL, but those two sources. On TysonYen.com, I have the Discord channel, I have the TikTok, I have the Instagram. I don't go on Facebook. I always tell people, don't bother trying to hit me up on Facebook.
Yeah, I saw that in my deep dive. I think you said it's trash.
It's trash. It's just nothing but like just terrible, terrible opinions being thrown around. I don't know. I just don't like the format. I prefer TikTok much better. Because it's, I don't know, it just seems like I run into more positive things rather than.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that.
Facebook just feels like I'm just always like treading through muck and terrible stuff.
Well, you should check out, you should do a deep dive on Twitter then. Oof.
I started jumping on Twitter more. It's been actually a lot more recently, a lot more active for me, at least. I'm getting a lot more people communicating. So
do you find that your YouTube channel of all your social medias is the hardest one to grow?
It is the hardest one to grow up. Well, it's the hardest barrier to monetize because the 4,000 hours, you know, TikTok, you can get right away. I mean, you only need is 1,000 followers, but I mean, unless you're, you know, like doing something crazy, I've been trying to figure out like how to monetize that in a way, but I'm trying like more to like,
maybe you go like, dive naked in a river again. I'm just saying.
Days are over. Those days are over. I'm not doing that again. That was rough.
Hey, I'll tell you what, you go, I'll go. We'll do like a joint Tyson Yen dad cast.
Dude, at least wear a thong. Okay.
Apart. We're not going to hug.
It's going to take a case of beer for that.
Exactly. I'm in.
You got to get better first, Nick.
It'll take me a half a sip and I'll be drunk, but yeah, let's go.
Right on. Okay. Well, man, he is Tyson Yen. Check him out at TysonYen.com. That's Y-E-N. And man, you're doing great things and you seem like a fantastic kick-ass dad. Keep that shit up. Good, sir.
Thank you so much. I try.
Yeah, we all do. It's a daily battle, man. But it, as you mentioned, I think one of the first things you said when we got on today was it's a tough battle, but it's a good battle. It's one that you definitely want to keep fighting.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Absolutely. All right, man. Well, hey, thank you for coming on the show. We much appreciate it. For everybody checking out and listening to this worldwide, wherever you are and however you may be listening, thank you for checking out. We love you. We thank you. We appreciate you. Of course, like it up, subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, obviously sub, hit the bell, do all the things, and we'll catch you on the very next episode. Again, he is Tyson Yen. Thank you for coming on, man. You've been amazing.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.